some of us say, well, I can't change. I've tried. I've tried 100 times to quit, and I can't quit. I've tried 100 times to make resolutions, but I can't seem to make them. And I want to say, oh, yes, you can.
This is Straight Talk.
Well, Steve, I'm excited about this series that we're jumping into, Habits, Disciplines That Make a Difference. And I'm convinced that right now, most people are the sum of the habits that they've been practicing over the last few years. In fact, if you look at your body and your health and your weight, you'll discover that really your body reflects whatever habits you've been practicing over the last few years. If you've been eating that chocolate silk pie every other day, or really scarfing down those Oreo cookies, then obviously your middle section is going to reflect that. If you have been smoking up a storm because you're nervous, then your lungs are going to reflect that. And your spiritual life is the same way. Your spiritual life reflects the habits that you've been practicing. If you have not really been in the habit of getting into the Word, or if you haven't really found a place to worship at, or if you haven't engaged in confession and repentance and cleansing yourself, then your spiritual life is going to look somewhat anemic. And so this series is really all about helping you discover some spiritual disciplines that can revolutionize your life. So stay tuned as we talk about habits, disciplines that make a difference.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Let's jump right into his brand new series called Habits tonight. Our text will be found in 1 Timothy. We're going to be in chapter 4. Pastor Mark's first message is called Disciplines That Make a Difference.
Sometimes if we have to be motivated enough to change habits in our life, and until we feel the urgency to do it, most of us continue on in the habits that we're involved in until we have a shock or a motivation that says, stop, change, you need to be different. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, if you take your Bibles and turn there, we're going to be talking about habits. This is an awesome passage to talk to us about habits, especially habits that lead to the transformation of our character, habits to godliness. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 6 out of the New International Version. It says, if you point these things out to our brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truth of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Verse 7, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. Verse 8, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Now, there's a little phrase there that is a powerful, powerful phrase. Train yourself for the purpose of godliness. Some of your versions may say, exercise yourself for the purpose of godliness. The word there, by the way, for training or exercising, it's the word in the Greek that we see for training is gymnasia. Yeah, you got it. It's where we get the word gymnasium from in the English. And it means a place where you are exercising, training, repeating a habit over and over and over until it makes a difference in your life. So in essence, Paul is saying, I want you to gymnasium yourself unto godliness. I want you to get on a plan, an exercise, a spiritual exercise plan until your character is in shape and you've changed the very essence of who you are, but that's not going to happen unless you develop the habit or the exercise to change the core of who you are. So let's look at four principles this morning that will help transform us from being spiritually flabby to spiritually fit. Four principles that will help you engage in habits that can really transform your life. Principle number one. Now, if you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write this down. Unlearning destructive habits is the first step to spiritual transformation. Do you realize that oftentimes before we learn something new, we have to unlearn something? Notice what the Apostle Paul tells Timothy. He says, hey, Timothy, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Obviously, if he was warning Timothy, Timothy had either engaged in the habit of discussing or talking or getting in these dialogues where they were in the middle of conversing about old wives' tales, godless myths, things that weren't based on the Bible. And it seems to be that Timothy had gotten into the habit of engaging in these long, lengthy conversations about things that really did not profit anybody. In fact, we find in 2 Timothy that the Apostle Paul tells Timothy that these conversations actually lead away from godliness. So Timothy had gotten in the habit of engaging in these conversations, and the Apostle Paul is telling him, I want you to break that bad habit, and I want you to start the habit of training yourself unto godliness. You see, the same way that we break a bad habit is the way that we start a new habit. You see, some of us cannot start a good habit until, first of all, we learn to break out of a bad habit. Are you tracking with me? How do you start a habit? Well, there's all kinds of habits we have in life, but let's take, for example, the habit of overindulging in junk food. You say, well, Pastor, now you're meddling a little bit. Okay, let's take the junk food habit. How do you get in the habit of eating junk food? You know that the doctor tells you, and all the nutrition experts tell you, that when you overindulge in cookie crumb ice cream topped with hot fudge, that if you overindulge in that over and over, that ultimately it's going to add some pounds to your belly, and it's going to clog up your arteries, and it's going to cause you to be a less healthy person. And none of us want that. We want to be healthy individuals. But how do you develop the habit? Well, it starts real simple. Some of you developed the habit when you were very young. Every time you were sad or crying, mom would say, well, here, have an ice cream. Okay, mom. So you'd have a little treat to make you feel better. And so it became what experts call comfort food. Every time you were sad, every time you were down, your mom would give you a lollipop, give you an ice cream, and you would feel better. So as you grew, every time you felt a little depressed, every time you felt a little down, you just scoop yourself a big bowl of ice cream, sit down, eat your ice cream. And, you know, there's something about ice cream that makes it, something about sugar that makes you kind of have a little good feeling, right? You eat it, you feel, I feel good about this. And so you develop the habit that it triggers. Every time I'm down, every time I'm depressed, every time I'm sad, there's this draw, this natural attraction. I mean, that refrigerator starts calling out your name. Come, I will make you feel better. And so you just find yourself sort of going to that refrigerator, and you're really not hungry, but you throw open the refrigerator door. Have you ever done that? Throw it open and just kind of look at what's there? You know the feeling, like all the healthy carrots and all that's up front, and you're kind of pushing that aside. Way back there's that cookie dough ice cream. And then you get that ice cream and you develop this habit, and before long, now you find yourself, you're 45 years old, and your doctor's saying you have to lose weight, but every week you just can't get away from it. You're in this habit of eating this unhealthy food that you know is not good for you, but every time you have a little bad feeling, a little dryness of your energy, every time you want to eat, have a little boost, you find yourself in this habit of eating junk food. Why? You have a trigger. There's a trigger in your life that is associated with something that feels good, and you do it long enough, often enough, and it becomes a habit in your life. They tell us that it takes 21 days to form a habit. They tell us that if you do something for 21 days straight, chances are you're on the road to developing a habit in your life. Some habits are good, some habits are bad. But let me tell you this about habits. In essence, habits are the tool that will ultimately shape your life. You tell me what you do often, whether it's physically, whether it's spiritually, whether it's mentally. You tell me what you eat often. You tell me the pattern of your life. You tell me what you do on a regular basis, many times, oftentimes a week, over a long period of time, and I will tell you ultimately who you are. Because the sum of the habits in your life form your character. Bad habits equal bad character. Good habits equal good character. It's not what you do once, it's what you do often for a long period of time that begins to affect who you are. Say, well, Pastor, I don't understand why I'm not more spiritual. I mean, 6 months ago, I went on a 3-day fast. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, but now my life's all dried up. Let me ask you a question. The last 6 months, have you prayed since you fasted? You see, I'm glad you went on a spiritual fast, but it's not what you do just occasionally or what you jump into in a big boom, but it's what you do on a regular basis, on a habitual basis that ends up forming who you are. And the first step in forming who we are is that we have to unlearn certain habits in our life. Let me ask you this question. What are the habits that you have to unlearn? What are the habits that you have learned that when you look at your life right now, you said, this is a bad habit? This is a bad habit in my life that actually does not lead me to godliness. And maybe it's not about talking about old wives' tales and myths that you engage in. Maybe it's not about conversations, but maybe it's about some pattern in your life. How about this pattern? You've been married for 15 years. And when you get in a little spat with your wife, you have this pattern. You get in a little spat. You feel like she doesn't listen. You get mad. You shout. You get aggravated. You punch the door. You kick the dog. You step in the cat's tail. And then, before you do anything else, you stomp out of the house. You stomp out of the house and you're mad and you're talking to yourself. And you know that there's this one buddy that's bad news for you. But every time you're mad or angry, you just say, this woman doesn't understand. She doesn't listen to me. I'm trying to do what's right. I'm trying to live godly. But this woman. And so you're mad and you're angry and not talking. And so you call up your buddy. And you know your buddy, he's always ready to party with you.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Disciplines That Make a Difference, which is from Pastor Mark's brand new series called Habits. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Disciplines That Make a Difference.
So you call them up and you say, I am so ticked, I am so mad. Hey, why don't you meet me? And you know that when you call him up, he's got the same issues with his wife. And so you both go out and normally you do really well, but you're so angry, you're so mad that you go out and he says, come on, what you need is we just need to have a few beers together and just kind of chill out a little bit. And so you get in this conversation and you spend 2 hours talking about how wives don't listen. How stubborn and how they don't follow and how you're the man, but she doesn't know it. And you're the leader, but she doesn't respect it. And boy, you wish you had trained her better when you first got married. And you just talk and he tells you his stories and you tell him his and you down one more and then you're really loose and you keep downing them. And guess what? There's a pattern here. Every time you get in a major blowout with your wife, every 3 months, you go out, you get drunk, you blow it, you spend the night over at the friend's house, You regret your behavior afterwards, but you know what? You've been doing it for 5 years. Same pattern. Big blowout. Drink with the buddy. Get drunk. Regret it. Come to the altar the next Sunday. Oh, God, help me, change me. But you know what? You got a pattern. Bad pattern. And you know what? You need to unlearn a pattern. You know, how do I unlearn a pattern? Well, you need to understand. You need to, what triggers that pattern? The fact that you have a blowout with your wife is one thing. And by the way, you're always going to have disagreements in one way or another with your marriage. So it's not your solution is, well, my wife needs to change and I wouldn't go out and get drunk anymore. Hey, I've had these conversations. Now, why do you do this, my wife? Now, why do you get drunk? If she would change, I'd be different. Hold on, buddy. You're having the place of change is when the trigger of emotion of anger and you walk out that door, there's a decision that you're making right then and there, and that's the place of change. That's where you break a habit and start a habit. That's when you learn to go to God or call up the buddy that's going to tell you what you know you don't want to hear, that's going to say, hey, let's pray about this. Let's talk about this. Hey, you know what? You're full of pride right now. Hey, let's ease up a little bit. Let's reconcile. You don't want to hear that. That's where a habit is changed. So before we develop habits of godliness, we need to sometimes unlearn bad habits in our life that take us away from godliness. The second point I want you to understand about this passage in developing habits of godliness. Write this down. Spiritual disciplines are the primary tools that shape our lives and character. You see, it tells us here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, the latter part of the verse, train yourself for godliness. Other version says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Another version says, exercise yourself unto godliness. That word train is not a very popular word, even when it comes to our spirituality. Because when it comes to spirituality, oftentimes we don't think of training. We want zapping, not training. Oh, Lord, I want to change. Zap me, God. You want to go to a big crusade. You want to go to this event. And you want sort of a lightning bolt from heaven to come and change your character immediately. And so you're praying for the touch of God. Oh, and I believe God can touch us. But let me tell you, oftentimes it's not the touch of God that will change you. You see, the touch of God gives you the power to go forward, but it's the discipline and training that begins to form our character. And the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, Timothy, I want you to train yourself unto godliness. I want you to exercise yourself unto godliness. You see, when someone enters one of the military branches, before they can really officially enter, they have to go to what? Basic training or boot camp. And in boot camp, they're trained the basics, and it's grueling, and it's tough, and it's meant to weed out people that aren't going to make it, and they're learning discipline, and they're raising early in the morning, and jogging for miles, and making their bed, and doing all these exercises with their weaponry, and learning, because this is grueling experience of training them to prepare. Let me tell you, godliness is the same thing. You see, some of you want to be godly, but you don't want to train. Some of you want to be like Jesus in your character and spiritual, but you don't want to discipline yourself. You want godliness by zapping or osmosis, but you don't want godliness through the process of training and pain and discipline and habit in your life. But that's exactly what Paul is telling Timothy. Timothy, the sum of your spiritual habits equals your level of godliness. So what are you saying, Mark? This is what I'm saying. You tell me what your spiritual habits are, and I will tell you what your godliness is. Really? Yeah, really. Tell me, what are the habits of spirituality in your life, and I'll tell you your level of maturity and growth in life. Training is painful, right? 2 years ago, I turned 40, and I decided, you know what? I'm going to start jogging. And so, the first time I went to the treadmill, I just, in my mind, it was like, oh. I looked at that thing, and I thought to myself, do I really want to do this? Because here's what I know. You breathe hard, you sweat, your pulse goes up, and your body says, stop, stop, stop. And sure enough, I got on that treadmill and started going, and it didn't take very long before my body was saying, stop, 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 take a rest. Why are you doing this to yourself? But you see, my mind was saying, hey, keep going, because this is good for you. But my body was saying, stop, take a break. See that person beside there walking? Why don't you just walk instead of run? You know, your body says, this is hard, this is a little painful, why don't you stop? And I tell you, for the first 2 months of doing this jogging on a regular basis, it was like a dread. It was like, oh, I got to do this. I know I should. I don't want to. My body doesn't want to. But I tell you what, after a while, as your body acclimates to a new habit, a new discipline, something really strange. I actually enjoy it now. Why? Because you develop a habit, and as you begin to do a habit long enough and begin to reap the benefits of it, you begin to see the benefits in your own life, and you develop this sense of this is good for me, and I've overcome the most painful part of it, and now it's a routine in my life, and you begin to experience new levels of energy and strength and just feeling a little bit more fit. That's the same way it is with our spiritual life. You see, some of us, when we talk about having a daily quiet time with God, it's just really hard for you to envision that. And you get up, you say, Pastor, I have to get up at 5:30 in the morning, and I don't get out of bed. I roll out of bed. And I hit the alarm clock 3 times. And finally, when my wife finally pushes me out with her foot, then I get up, but I'm in no mood to talk to anybody. And I'm in no mood to pray and meditate on Scripture. I just want my coffee. And so to get up in the morning and to try to get into the Word and read a little Scripture and pray, that is like torture to me to even think about it. And here's the thing. Most habits, when we first start them, are difficult. But if we begin to persist, and if you talk to people that have been having their devotions for years, I think you'll hear this story. Man, I can't even envision having a day without starting off with some prayer and time with Jesus, because I can't function without it. And you see, you talk to someone that's not doing the habit, and they say, how do you do it? And you talk to someone that's already doing the habit, and they'll say, how can you survive without it? You see, it's the pattern of starting a habit in your life that at times is, you say, well, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I just want to love Jesus. And if it doesn't come from my heart, I don't want to do it. Really? Now, is that your approach to all of life? Because if that's your approach to all of life, you're going to miss work a lot. You see, sometimes we have double standard with spirituality. So, well, if I don't come from my heart, it's not sincere, I don't really do it, and I just don't do it because I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want it to come from my heart. Okay, so the last time you prayed was 2 weeks ago because it came from your heart. Let me tell you, I want you to try that with your boss sometime. Hey, why aren't you at work today? Well, I just didn't feel like I was going with the right attitude with all my heart, so I just decided not to come into work today. Well, when you coming back? When I can go with a good heart and I'm going to work with all my mind and all my heart. Really?
Well, that's the first half of our message called Habits, Disciplines That Make a Difference tonight. Please do join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, called Unstuck, is also available for just $10 plus shipping. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself for tonight. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great evening, and join us again on the next Straight Talk. God bless.